Welcome to Divine Downloads. I'm your host, Cassandra Bodzak, and this is the show where we help you divinely design your life. This week's episode is all about my second trimester. So many of you gave me positive feedback after my first couple episodes around my pregnancy, saying that they were super helpful and enlightening. So here we are. We're going to do one for every trimester. And if you have specific topics that I don't cover in this episode, feel free to reach out, DM me, email my assistant, let us know, and we'll try to accommodate. So before we dive into the spiritual lessons, the body love lessons, all the highs and lows, including genetic testing and telling people, planning, you know, starting to plan for maternity leave, starting to plan for birth. There's so much in the second trimester. I wanted to remind you that I do have that free realignment bundle for you.
This is for you if you're just ready to take things to the next level, if you're feeling stuck or stagnant or just uninspired in your life. Doing this free conscious lifestyle design assessment is actually going to take you through all 8 different areas of your life and get you really clear. It comes with a guided meditation so that you can get really clear and tapped into what does alignment look like for you in every area of your life. And then once you start taking the actions as part of this conscious lifestyle design project, you're really going to see how energy shifts, how manifestations flow. I mean, this exercise alone is so powerful and so magical that I'm just really excited to share with you totally free as a thank you for being here in the community and listening to the podcast. So just click the link below. It's free. Let me know how it goes for you.
Okay, so the second trimester is action-packed. So we got a lot to cover, but I got my tea, I got my notes. We got a lot going on here. And at the end of the episode, I'll also share with you our gender reveal. So first of all, the second trimester for me at the start of the second trimester was when we first found out our genetic testing results. And I had touched on this, I think, in the previous episode that I did not predict that I would be as nervous as I was prior to actually being pregnant. And so I chose to really wait to tell a lot of people in my life until after we got the genetic testing results back. And the genetic testing results pretty much just test for serious genetic conditions. Some conditions that might make the fetus non-viable to full term, and some conditions that would just like things like Down syndrome, or of course I'm blanking on the thing. Some things that would create difficulties in early life or just in the life in general for the parents to be aware of so that they can put, you know, consider that when considering their birth plan and newborn plan and all of that jazz. So needless to say, a very nerve-wracking time. And they take like a bajillion vials of blood from you. And then it took like 2 or 3 weeks for us to get any answers. And I've had friends from other states, we did it in California, but I have had friends from other states have more efficient turnaround time with that. But for whatever reason, it took us a long time. And those were some really hard weeks of just kind of wanting to know. And then also being in this interesting time because you're after that first trimester, you know, 12-week mark where you're more nervous, I think the most nervous about miscarriage during that early time. And then you're into the second trimester. And by this point, I was really itching to tell more people. But now it felt silly if I had already waited this long to not just wait and see what the genetic testing was. Because again, it's, you know, you always have to factor in, you know, whatever, the more people I include on this journey, the more people I am also going to have to navigate should anything go wrong, or complications arise. And so I think really for me, just being in that position of not wanting too many cooks in the kitchen, if there was something that me and my husband and our, you know, parents or immediate family were going to have to be dealing with or deciding something on or figuring something out or whatever it might be, I don't know. I was just like, the least cooks in the kitchen would be great. So luckily, we got all of our results back. Those results also included the gender. But surprisingly enough, I was really at peace when it came to gender. Like I said, at the end of the episode, I'll let you know what it was. But this is my first child. My husband has a stepdaughter. So for me, I was very neutral about what gender. I want to save my gender stories because I do have some, you know, stories about things relating to gender, but I want to save it to the end of the episode when we get into that. So that was the first thing. The genetic testing, oh my God, having that come back, and just everything being good was just 1,000 pounds of anxiety and weight off my chest. The other interesting thing for me specifically, which is not always the case, but for me in the second trimester, I was still experiencing some of my first trimester symptoms. So for my fourth and fifth month, I would say, I was still feeling nauseous. I was still very tired. I had, you know, it just kept on going. And one of the things that was really hard for me was that so many people that had been pregnant, that I was friends with or had talked to were all telling me that, well, the second trimester is the best. Like, this is as good as it's going to get. It's never going to get better than this, right? And that was really not my experience in the beginning. And what a divine lesson in just trusting our own paths and trusting the divine timing of our own journey. Because for me, I would say from month 6, and now I'm in month 7 as I'm recording this, these past 2 months have been my best months thus far, where I have felt really good. I've had good energy. I still probably need a little bit more sleep than I would have pre-pregnancy, but for the most part, I'm good throughout the whole day. I rarely have nausea anymore. I feel chill, you know? So that like little honeymoon period came a little later for me than for some people. And I think that that's one of the other reasons why, you know, I think it's, pregnancy is such a journey, just as I'm sure motherhood is too, in a really, you know, filtering information and trusting that, you know, each of our journeys is individual. And so I have friends, just to be completely transparent, that have been nauseous and struggled the entire pregnancy, right? And then I have other friends that never were nauseous their entire pregnancy. So I think you totally learn bioindividuality and even pregnancy individuality, because I've had friends with multiple children that every single pregnancy was a totally different experience. And we're going on the soul's journey of that little soul that's coming in, but also our karmic path around this pregnancy and what it's meant to feel like for us and what needs to happen. You know, for me, one of the spiritual things that I intuited around a lot of the food aversions and morning sickness and exhaustion and things that I went through for the first 5 months was really feeling like this is just a very high vibrational soul that's coming into my body that is needing to purge and detox some of the things that I may have had in my system from, you know, my lifetime or for environmental things or whatever it was, right, that were not in alignment with it. And also getting really clear on, you know, what foods were like allowed past go and which ones weren't. And when I sunk into that truth and really honored that, I was like, okay, this soul and its vibration is simply moving my physical being through the process that it needs for me to, you know, grow and develop and hold space for this little baby while it's in my body. Because we are very much still, you know, holding and forming the energetic vibration of the physical element of the baby while we are pregnant. And, you know, there are different schools of thought as to when the baby's soul comes into our body. In Kundalini yoga, they say on the 120th day, which is about the fourth month of pregnancy, that the soul will enter the body. There is also the theory that during actual labor and birth, the mother's soul goes back out into the great beyond, gathers the child's soul, and brings them back into the body for when they, you know, leave the womb. I personally really, I believe that the soul, or like what kind of has come through intuitively for me, and I, you know, this isn't, you know, fact or anything like that, but I really believe that when we conceive, there is a soul that is connected and assigned to our, to the body that we are building inside our womb. And that if for whatever reason that body is not viable through whatever physical reasons and we miscarry, or, you know, someone makes the choice to not have that pregnancy continue, then I think that soul, you know, still hangs out there and waits for the next opportunity, whether that be through our vehicle or through another vehicle that's aligned with them. I think that that soul hangs out. I think if we continue with the pregnancy, my feeling is that that soul is kind of with us, watching over us for the majority of the pregnancy, and then picks when they want to kind of come in and be in that body. But I think they go in and out of that body that's being created inside of us throughout the pregnancy, and then ultimately really fully mend with that body before birth. That's my just intuitive thought. But again, I think it's an interesting experience because, you know, when you're pregnant, and I've talked to some of my other spiritual girlfriends who have been pregnant about this, is that you may think that there's something wrong if you don't feel like such a strong connection to the energy of your womb space during pregnancy. And I think for what, at least what me and my friends have kind of thought on this, is that when we're not feeling that connection, a lot of times it's because the soul hasn't really fully melded with the body, the physical body that we're building. And so it's helpful to speak out loud. Like, I find I speak more, if I'm going to speak to my baby, I'm speaking out loud the way I would speak to my angels and my guides, more so than, and even with like playing music or playing meditations or things, I genuinely, and like I said, I'm not any like baby expert here. This is just my intuitive thought while I was pregnant, is that I feel like the soul of my child is hearing me speak, it's hearing me do this podcast, it's hearing my meditations, it's hearing whatever, you know, I'm ingesting, whether it's music, whether it's hearing my husband talk, whether it's talking to a client, it's in my field and it's absorbing. So I haven't personally felt the call that, like, I need to speak directly to my womb, or I need to put, like, headphones on my belly. I really feel that the soul is absorbing what is around me and what I'm saying and what I'm listening to and all of that. But anyway, that was kind of a tangent. That was a bit of a tangent, but that's kind of how I felt. And also, just for me, I think trusting the moments where I feel called to connect, specifically, and then also trusting the moments when I don't. And, you know, for me, that theory that the soul is kind of going in and out and knows that, you know, at the end of this journey, they are going to forget their entire experience outside of Earth, right? And come into this body and have this new karmic lifetime ahead, that this, the, you know, these like 9-10 months they have are kind of like their final time to, like, just go and explore in the infinite, right? And be in the spirit realm. And then, like, pop in, maybe check on me, check on how their body is being formed and how that's going. And then pop back out. But that's been my kind of experience with that. I do think that if there is something specifically we want to connect with them on, we can call upon them just the same way we call upon, like, guides and angels and stuff. So if we need their assistance with something or we want their guidance, you know, I've definitely called upon my child to help me with the naming process because I really want to choose a name that they feel is really aligned with them, not just one that I like or my husband likes or is trendy or anything like that. For me, I feel really lucky to have a name that has always felt really me and really aligned. And I hope to be able to give that gift to my child. Okay. What else? There's some more. Second trimester. So similarly to the symptom stuff, what also was a little bit different and could be because it was my first kid, could be because I'm, you know, pretty tall. It took me a while to really show. I would say not until the 6-month mark was there really much of a hint that I was pregnant. Up until then, I mostly just felt bloated. If you saw me in a bikini, you would probably think that I ate too many burritos, you know, but there wasn't like a clear, I'm pregnant. And then even at the 6-month mark, it was a small, but more like bump size thing that depending on what clothing I was wearing, would dictate, you know, actually my very last work event that I did in Barcelona, which I was towards the very end of my 6 month. And it wasn't until the last day where I wore, I had like a jacket that the company wanted us to wear or whatnot. And then on the last day I wore a more like form-fitting t-shirt and shared with some of the people that I had gotten to know about it. And most of them were like, wow, like I would not have guessed it all week, right? And so this is really interesting. One, because again, it just shows you like everybody's journey is different. Generally, I had discovered through my research that first time moms show a little bit later on, and then if you have a second kid, you show faster, which makes sense because if you think about it, it's your ab muscles, right? So those muscles have never been stretched to this limit before, and it's totally amazing to watch them stretch and to watch your body grow in this way, especially if you're, like, for me, I've never seen my body like grow on any level close to this. I've been relatively the same size, give or take, you know, since I, you know, finished puberty. I haven't really, you know, maybe I've lost some weight here, or gained muscle here, but there's been no drastic body things for me. And so it is very wild. even when you start getting the little bump, it's very wild, I thought at least. And so anyway, so not showing till later, it's kind of weird because I think that also impacted me waiting to publicly share more about it. Because I remember thinking like, okay, well, even when I took my reveal kind of photos when I was in Paris after my Barcelona trip, I was literally at the end of the 6th month, beginning of the 7th month of my pregnancy, I think, at that time. And the photographer put me in certain positions to show the belly more. And there are some photos from that shoot where I don't look pregnant at all just because of the way I'm sitting or the way I'm standing. And we really had to actively like push out the belly and put my hands on it and try to get these angles that would show the bump. Which if you think about it, going on like into your third trimester feels kind of crazy. And I think it also, it makes the like mind body connection of like, I'm pregnant, take a little bit longer. I think really once my bump started showing and I started really looking a little bit more pregnant and fitting in, like fitting more pregnant. Cause first of all, it's not like you can just fit into all of your clothes either. Like the first 6 months, you know, it is like if you've ever like eaten something that really, you know, did not digest well and your stomach is bloated, you probably can't fit into your jeans comfortably. You probably don't like how certain shirts look on you. So you don't have the option of looking like, that was one of my, you know, struggles where some of my girlfriends, you know, popped and had this cute little belly right away. And so they like jumped right into like the maternity leggings and like crop top, like whatever, and all these like kind of cuter things to show off their bump. And I was like, dude, I just look like I ate too much last night. I'm not gonna look cute if I do that. And so totally a body love journey, especially for me in those earlier stages. I think now that I am 31 weeks as I am recording this, and I am most obviously pregnant right now. I feel more confident. I'm not going to say there are still days where like I'll try on certain things and I just don't love how I look in certain clothes, but it feels better than when I was in that awkward stage of like not feeling like myself, but also not quite feeling full pregnant either. And also mentally, it's weird. It's weird because it's like, it feels like your pregnancy is an intellectual concept for a while until you start noticing those physical changes. And even when it comes to like breast size, like that's something that I think different women get at different points. And some women, that's like the first thing that happens, right? Like they get pregnant and they almost know that they're pregnant by their breasts growing or becoming really sensitive and all this stuff. And I don't know why that happens for some people and not for others. I can tell you it definitely did not happen for me. I did not have breast sensitivity or massive breast growth. I think they've grown a little bit, but I think the growth spurt is probably going to be at the end of the journey for me, which is fine because I already have, you know, quite decent sized breasts. So I was actually pretty scared of them growing too big because they're already kind of at my comfortable limit right now. But there's always just changes that sometimes happen. So I think when you don't have a ton of those changes, it can feel like your pregnancy is a little bit more mental, where you're like, okay, so allegedly I'm pregnant. I looked forward to doing like the ultrasounds or when they do the Doppler to hear the baby's heartbeat, especially during those times, because it was just like affirmation. Like, okay, everything's going to plan, even though I cannot see it going to plan really from my outward perspective. And hello, what a potent manifestation metaphor there, right? Is really trusting and knowing that this process is going on and all of these beautiful cosmic miracles are aligning to create this thing. And you can't even see anything different on the outside. Like for the first 5 months, for sure, it's like, I don't see anything different. If I pee on a stick, it shows a certain amount of lines. It tells me I'm this. If I get this like equipment and I go there, there's a heartbeat or there's a ultrasound, whatever. But that's very much like when we're manifesting something, right? That there's this period of gestation where things are happening that we can't see with our naked eye, that we have to trust. So that was a very a really good metaphor, I think, for me to absorb during that time and to understand. And then the second part of that also, which I think is for anyone that's done a lot of body love work, and you all know that I have, and my whole first book, Eat With Intention, is all about loving your body and accepting your body. And I've come so far over the years with all the work I've done with that. But I'm not going to lie, there are definitely triggers in pregnancy. And like I said, for me, I think most of them were in that awkward in-between stage where it felt like I was bloated and I was uncomfortable in my body, which are mostly symptoms of just the hormone shifts that you're going through. So it's a similar feeling if you have that feeling like before your period where you just feel like really bloated 1 week. But there's not too much you can do about it other than, you know, whatever, like, you know, peppermint tea, going on walks, things like that, that anyone would do for bloating. But yeah, and just coming back to that, the miracle, it's very similar to the advice that I gave in Eat With Intention around loving your body from that place. When you have a hard time doing that, one of the things to really get like granular with and get down to is reminding yourself of all of the miraculous processes that are going on in your body every day just to keep you alive. And then when you're pregnant, add to that to actually create a new life inside of you, which is just totally mind-blowing. So that has been a real anchor for me. And there's also been the anchor of, you know, controlling what I can control. And for me, it has felt really, really good to eat healthy like 90% of the time during pregnancy, to work out every day, to keep my body moving, to invest in whether it is like special Pilates classes geared for prenatal, invest in different programs with different stretches. I've been doing Pilates, walking, the prenatal Peloton workouts and prenatal cycling on the Peloton. I recently started working with a personal trainer for my third trimester, now that I'm not traveling as much, to really focus on the muscles that will not only be really important during labor, but also just, you know, to keep things so that my body feels strong in recovery, right? And helps my body bounce back and have that memory. And I've also been doing a lot of somatic work. So I was really called to somatic work while we were still trying to get pregnant, because what it does is it helps release the places in your body where you store trauma or tension. And this can be really effective for weight loss if you're someone that feels like you're, you know, doing the boot camps or, you know, really working out so hard and it's not moving the needle or even you're gaining weight, oftentimes it's because we're stuck. Our body is stuck in a trauma response, or it's stuck in fight or flight, our nervous system. So when you're already in fight or flight from working all day and sitting at your computer and doing your emails and all that stuff, and then you go to your workout and you do something really intense, it's also keeping you in fight or flight because your whole physical body feels like you're running from a lion because you're using so much, right? Like in a CrossFit or a boot camp kind of thing. Your body never gets a chance to relax. And in that state, your body is not going to lose fat because your body literally thinks that you're fighting for survival. So it's holding on to fat even stronger. So that's one option. But the other part of it for me was, I know that going into labor in and of itself can be a very traumatic experience for your body. And so if you're holding any previous trauma or tension, I would imagine, in my like non-doctor opinion, that that's going to make the labor process more challenging. So I thought it was good. I also thought it'd be helpful just, you know, in helping getting pregnant and whatever. And I love it. And I've also hired a pelvic floor therapist. So I think second trimester was definitely like the trimester I was like, let's get this going. And I'm approaching this pregnancy the way I approach everything in my life, right? Which is full, full speed ahead, really honoring where I need to invest in coaches and courses and learning so I can show up my best, so I can do this to the highest level that's possible. And as well as holding that space for trust and surrender and faith and the spiritual journey that everything we do in life is as well. There are so many courses that you can take. And so that was a big thing, a big part of my second trimester too, was asking girlfriends what courses they love that made the difference, asking my midwife and my doula, what courses that they, you know, suggested, doing my own research, and then deciding on which courses I wanted to select. So, I personally ended up choosing a pain-free birth course, as well as, a hypnobirthing course. And, my doula is affiliated with a course called Spinning Babies. So, through hiring her, we did a spinning babies private, and so far I've loved all of it. I will say I was also buying all these audiobooks on every audiobook on like spiritual birth, you know, all different kinds of birthing audiobooks. And recently I had to also give myself some grace to take a step away because it was just becoming too much. It was just like information overload. But on the other side, it really blows my mind when I talk to people that didn't do any research, didn't read any book, never took any course, really went into labor blind. That, and I think maybe it's just because of the kind of person I am, but to me, I feel like, you know, doesn't matter what course it is or what book it is or anything like that. This is, or if you're going to do a home birth or a hospital birth or a birth center, you're working with a midwife or an OB or a doula or whatever you're doing. There's so much information out there on like all of the options and all of the pathways. And for me, I just think the more informed you can be going into it, the more you're going to receive from the experience. And also the more, you know, you feel confident. And we'll talk a little bit more in our third trimester. We'll talk a little more in the third trimester podcast, I guess, about some of the like specific labor prep stuff. But in general, for me, the more I read and the more informed I've been has really made me feel more at ease and more confident going into labor, and just with the pregnancy in general. Like, I have found that so many of the tips and tricks and things that I've read along the way have just been so helpful. And sometimes it's just comforting to know that you're not alone. And sometimes it's like a practical tool, like, hey, if you're feeling, you know, pain in your lower back, here's three different stretches you should do. Or, hey, you know, if you're feeling this kind of pain, like, it might be from this, try this. Stuff like that, I just think has been so effective. But I mean, you guys know me. I'm all about, like, invest in yourself to expedite your process and increase your results, right? When it comes to manifesting. And so that's really also how I live my life when I'm doing something too. And so I definitely feel really, really, really good about everything that I've invested, both time, energy, and financially, to learn a lot. And for those of you that may be in, you know, a tighter financial spot, there are so many affordable classes and courses and YouTube videos and just books. You know, if you can't, you know, splurge on a whole course or something like that. So there's totally a way to do it for every budget, I think. And for what works for you and for what you feel called towards. I think it's so intuitive, and you have to trust pregnant you. I think pre-pregnancy you, if for those of you listening with the intention of getting pregnant, pre-pregnancy you is going to have a lot of preconceived notions on how you think you're going to feel, how you're going to handle pregnancy, how certain things are going to go. And you have to be willing to just let it all die, let it all burn, and trust pregnant you's flow, trust pregnant you's intuition. I've had friends that, you know, were like, I'm going to be eating all these vegetables and drinking smoothies, and then they can only like stomach mac and cheese and toast with butter, right? And I've had other pregnant mama friends who were like all like, I'm for home birth, I'm for this, and then when they got pregnant, like really felt like they wanted a hospital birth, right? And vice versa. So I think you just have to trust where your intuition is guiding you and your pregnant intuition, and release any preconceived thoughts or plans that you may have had before entering the pregnancy. For me, one of the last things I'll say before we talk about the gender reveal, is one of the biggest intuitive things I ended up having to do towards the very end of my second trimester was switch providers. And that was so nerve-provoking, so anxiety-inducing. But now on the flip side of it, I am so glad. And it's funny because after doing it, I've randomly connected with other moms that did the same thing, you know, as late as I did or even later, and were also really glad they listened to their intuition on it. So in my example, I had chosen a midwife group that was connected to a birth center, that was connected to a hospital, and the midwife group did a thing where there's like six or seven of them, I forgot how many, and you were guaranteed to get one of them during your labor, but you wouldn't know which one it was. And so they suggested rotating who you were seeing while going through all of your checkups and appointments. And when I first heard this, I was already disappointed because part of the reason I wanted a midwife was because most OBs work in a similar fashion to this. So an OB, usually, depending on like if they're part of a partnership or a group, they might have one other OB or they might have a few other OBs that kind of work in a collective and they trade off who's on call certain days. And so it's very common that, you know, you're not always guaranteed the OB that you work with. And this is something that, you know, even my husband had talked to me about previously, where he was like, listen, if we need to, because sometimes they'll offer like concierge services or things like that, where you can pay an extra premium to ensure you know who will be delivering your baby. And so my husband was like, you know, I'm in for that because I really do think that, that matters. I think it's important that you feel safe and you feel good with whoever is going to be leading that journey on that day, and not that it's someone that you're meeting for the first time, if you can control it, right? And I agreed with that. And so then we get jumped into this midwife group, and I don't know. And so because I was so attached to the idea of this midwife group and this thing, and it was a total pre-pregnancy choice that I had made, I really stuck with it. I went to, you know, through, you know, first and good portion of the second trimester, up to like 22, 3 weeks, with this group. And every single time I would meet with a different midwife. And now there were obviously, just with all humans, ones that I clicked with more than others. There were none that I specifically like thought were awful or really didn't like. But with each passing appointment, I got more and more uncomfortable with the fact that, one, I didn't feel like I was building a strong relationship with any of them because I was rotating. And then two, the fact that like, I wouldn't feel a strong connection to whoever was going to be, you know, helping me in labor. And then I ended up getting sick. I ended up getting sick in my second trimester. I don't know what it is. I think I caught something from my stepdaughter and I was throwing up and I had a fever and it was really, really bad. And it was the first time in my pregnancy that I was like really just scared. I didn't know like if what I was going through was going to hurt the baby or whatever. And because of this system this midwife group had, the only thing I had access to was a portal to send an email and hopefully hear within 48 hours. And that really for me was, I think, one of the straws that broke the camel's back. Was that I was like, wow, like the options are literally like, I either call like 911 and go into like an emergency thing, or I just have to wait. And so, you know, luckily I was able to do some online research, talk to my husband, who's also a doctor, who's able to talk to some people for me. And, you know, we figured it was going to be fine. And I took a small amount of Tylenol to just keep my fever from getting too high, because that was the most potentially dangerous thing. And hydrated a ton to make sure the baby was still getting enough hydration with my throwing up. But it really like hit me that, wow, like I don't have a midwife that really cares. You know, that I could just text. It's not like I would need a lot, you know, but being able to have someone that I could like shoot a text or shoot a quick call at an appropriate hour, even just to be like, hey, 5 minutes, this is what's going on. Anything I should do that I'm not already doing, da 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 da, right? And I didn't hear back from anyone for 2 days. And when I went back, after that whole thing, after I was feeling better and stuff, I started interviewing doulas. And when I started interviewing doulas and kind of sharing my experience and sharing about my vision for my birth, unanimously, everybody that I interviewed suggested that I reconsider my birth team, my provider, so to speak, whatever you want to call it. And I got some great recommendations for other midwives that work one-on-one and specialize in home births as well. And I started interviewing them, and I made a shift to the midwife that I am currently with and could not be happier. Could not feel, and already with her, I had one moment where I was having weird ligament pain that I didn't know what it was for the first time, and you know, was able to call her, and in 5 minutes she was able to not only soothe my worries but give me a couple different, you know, tactics to try to get me more comfortable. And it was just like, yeah, keep me posted, call me back if, you know, if it gets worse or anything else that you're concerned about. And I feel so much more confident going into my birth with my new midwife than I did before. And I think that with all the research I've done and all the reading and the courses and stuff, I think one of the biggest things that I would tell any you know, mom thinking about pregnancy and thinking about her labor journey is that it is so much about what's going to put your nervous system at ease. And labor is going to be an intense process, and just like pregnancy can be an intense process, but it's the same way. Like if you're choosing like a spiritual mentor or a therapist or a coach, right? If you pick someone that you inherently feel a connection with, feel at ease in their presence, like your nervous system can relax in their presence and have that, you're going to be able to traverse much more, you know, intense waters together, right? When I know, especially like for me, when I'm with a client that I've been with for a bit and I know that we have, you know, deep trust and deep connection on that level, we can really go to some, you know, dark places together to help heal and move through and hold them through that process because of the relationship, because of the way their nervous system is able to feel safe and relax in my presence. We can do deeper work together and we can have even better outcomes. And I really, you know, for me, pregnancy and going into birth, I really feel the same thing, is that my birth team, my doula and my midwife, and then obviously my husband, my nervous system feels so safe, can fully relax. And while there are so many things in pregnancy and in birth and in motherhood and in life that we cannot control, that, you know, we don't know maybe why certain, you know, circumstances happen or complications arise or pain or difficulty or whatever is going to happen. We don't know, right? But when we surround ourselves with the proper support team, when we allow ourselves to be in the environments and the relationships that put our nervous system at ease, we are that much more well-resourced to navigate those deeper waters. And so that is really, you know, what I finally crystallized. I think you could totally crystallize it in your first trimester, but it took me to my second trimester to crystallize that I would, you know, say to anybody that was asking me for advice in that regard. Okay, this is going so much longer. I didn't think it'd be this long. But last and not least, the gender. So like I said, I was pretty neutral on the gender as far as this is my first child, so either one would be a gift and a blessing. I had years ago, even before I met my husband, had a vision of a little boy. And so every time I've connected with spirit in regards to children, I've always seen a little boy. And then more recently, since I've been with my husband, I've seen a little girl that's younger than that little boy. That's what I've always seen. I did, during my pregnancy, go to a spirit baby psychic and had a couple other readings that were, you know, just general tarot readings or psychic readings or whatnot for other things in my life where people guessed the gender. And the interesting thing was, is that everyone, so most of the psychic and tarot readers said it was a girl. My spirit baby reader originally said, you know, echoed my own vision, even though I didn't tell her before she told. She said it's going to be a boy and then there's going to be a little girl. And if you decide you want to have two kids. And then when we were trying and things weren't going, I called her again and said, hey, I just want to check in to make sure. I don't think there are any physical blockages, but if there's any energetic blockages, because I had read Spirit Babies about how certain babies might feel like, oh, mom doesn't really want me, or mom's scared of this, or whatever. So I was like, if there's anything I need to know or clear, let me know. And she said, oh, well, they shifted positions. So now the girl wants to come first and the boy's going to come second. So I, you know, and then of course, if you've ever been pregnant, or maybe even if you're not pregnant, you've got other friends, there are so many like old wives' tales and things that they're like, oh, well, if you're craving sweets, it's a girl. If you're craving salty, it's a boy. If you're really sick, it's a girl. If you don't have morning sickness, it's a boy. If you if your belly is just mainly in your belly, it's a boy. If you feel like you're just overall expanding or it's wider or something like that, it's a girl. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones. It's like if your skin is good, it's a boy. If your skin is bad, it's a girl. There are so many different ones. So it was funny because based on, oh, and then the heart rate of the baby. If the heart rate is high, I think it's a girl. And if the heart rate is low, it's a boy. So I had morning sickness. Baby had a high heart rate, but I didn't have bad skin. I wasn't really showing enough to decide either way. And my cravings were mostly savory, but I was having more, my cravings were mostly savory and I was having a lot of resistance to any sweetness. I don't know if resistance is the right word. Like repulsion. Like it was more of like an aversion. That's the word. An aversion to sweets. And so it was a mixed bag. I was like, I really don't have any idea. My mother-in-law and my mother both thought it was a boy because they said that they felt like I was glowing and that, you know, my skin was looking good and physically they said that usually when their experience, they thought when it's a girl, you can kind of see it on the face right away. Which I don't even know. But anyway, they were aligned on that. So they're both boy. I'm just thinking just because of how bad the morning sickness is, plus the heartbeat thing, that maybe it's a girl. Plus I'm a little tainted, I'm not gonna lie, by that spirit baby psychic that was saying that they did like a gender switch or like the positioning switch or whatever when they were waiting. And so for our gender reveal, what we ended up doing, we waited until Christmas. So we waited a bit, and on Christmas, my husband's sister did this really cute ornament making thing where everybody we were in Poland, we met up with my husband's whole family, extended family, and his sister and their kids and husbands and everything, and so we're in Poland at this little ski resort together, and everyone got to make a Christmas ornament that was either pink or blue based on their guess. So it was really fun for, they could ask me whatever they wanted, you know, about my symptoms or about whatever. And it was really fun to see everyone's guesses. And then they gave us like a little gift bag They gave us a little gift bag and I rummaged through it, and then it had either a pink or blue ornament. So they interviewed us before we did it, based on what we thought. And I said that I really felt like at this point, I felt like it was a girl. And my husband hilariously goes, "It's a boy." And my husband really wanted a boy because my husband has a girl from his first marriage. And he really just like, he was like, I knew he'd be happy no matter what, but he was hardcore manifesting a boy. He would just like, he would talk to the baby like it was a boy. he would just like, you know, keep on saying like, "Our son, our son, our son." And then when his sister interviewed him about what he thought it was and why, he goes, "Well, it's a boy because God told me." which I don't know, I guess maybe you have to know my husband to know how hilarious that is. But so he stayed steadfast, and then we found out.
So I actually found the 30-second clip for those of you guys watching on YouTube. You can see it live. So I'll narrate it for you guys a little bit here. So I have a gift bag and I'm opening up. The first package inside is blue, and then the next one has pink wrapping. And now I'm down to a little gift box that's white and gold, so they still don't know. And I'm trying to get that gift box.
Oh my god, I'm gonna throw up. Oh my god, this is fun. Can you stop, Mark?
My parents are on FaceTime on the phone.
It is a boy. So so I don't know if it was my husband's incredible manifesting power, if my original vision that I got years ago of my children was spot on all along and never really changed. And I'm very, very excited to be a boy mom. I would have been excited either way, but I do feel like because we do have my stepdaughter, having a boy really is just a beautiful balance for our family. And I'm personally really excited to be a boy mom, and feel like I'll be a great boy mom. So that's it. It's a boy. And I don't know. And I think it also just goes to show that so many, you know, of those old wives' tales are not true. Or maybe a few of them are true and then a few of them are not. Because I've also like had many periods since then where I've had more sweet cravings, right? So, you know, for anyone in the early stages, you don't know the gender yet. My best advice would be, if for whatever reason it's like not your first baby, or you have a strong preference, I don't know. I think I lucked out because I was guessing based on symptoms and things like that, but I was really happy for either. So I think the more you can get yourself to that point, the better. But, also just like trusting the divine plan that this is the soul that, you know, is here to, that chose you and chose this experience. And I think both genders have their difficulties and both genders have their rewards. So there's something to love no matter what. So I guess that's it. Oh my God, it went an hour. Thank you. If you're still with me, thank you. You're a rock star. Let me know in the comments below if you have any thoughts or questions or comments on this video or this podcast. I'm happy to respond. And of course, as always, you know, send this to a friend if you think a friend would enjoy it. And don't worry, you know, we'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week as well. So I'm just kind of popping in these pregnancy episodes here and again. Be sure to subscribe if you're not already. And be sure to check out all the links below for all of the free goodies that I have for you to help you on your manifesting way.